Thank you for tuning in today, and welcome to Grace Living for Everyday Life. The objective of this program, through teaching and interviews, is to help those who do not have a relationship with Jesus to discover the joy and simplicity of knowing Him, and for those who know Jesus, that they may discover the source of Grace Living, which is Jesus living through us. Your host, Bob Jones, will guide you through these teachings and interviews. We hope you find them helpful and enlightening. And now, here is your host for today's program, Bob Jones.
Today, I'll be concluding the study, Resting in Jesus' Life. As I have discussed previously, the heart of resting in Jesus' life is practicing a life of dependence as we trust in the power and promises of God. Last time I discussed some of the difficulties of practicing resting in Jesus. The last topic of this series will deal with some of the benefits of practicing resting in Jesus' life for now and in eternity. The third topic of the third and final section of the study is how does the scriptural theme of rewards relate to resting in Jesus' life? God rewards us now and will reward us in eternity for practicing a life of childlike faith, trusting, depending, resting in Jesus to work through us. As I've emphasized throughout the entire study, the God family, the Father, the Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit wants the job done, a supernatural life of love and a life abounding in good works. But they want it done in a new way, not by our self-effort, but by a life of trust, depending on them to work through us. As I've discussed in the past, continuing with our baseball analogy, we get rewarded for practicing letting God swing the bat with us. In Ephesians 2:10, it states, God has created the good works beforehand that we might walk in them. God has a unique plan to use each one of us according to their will. So we get rewarded for yielding to God to work through us to carry out their individual plan for each of us. As Christians, we are all headed for heaven, the Hall of Fame, and yet God has a special awards banquet where special awards will be handed out. Yet, in this life, there are many blessings for practicing resting in Jesus' life in the midst of life's difficulties. I would first like to discuss in some detail some of the present blessings we are rewarded with now, which include the following. The first one is a greater settled peace and rest in a relationship with God. Second, the Bible as a whole makes more sense as we recognize resting in Jesus as a central theme. Third, the spiritual disciplines of prayer, Bible study, doing good are a more natural byproduct as we practice resting in Jesus' life. Fourth, there's a greater awareness of God's loving concern for the details of our lives. And fifth, there's a greater understanding of how a life of faith can result in good works as we rest in Jesus. I would like to elaborate on each of these present blessings. One of the greatest present benefits is a greater settled peace and rest that we're okay because of what Jesus has done. We can praise and thank God daily that God lives in us. We are God's children. We are one with them, all because of what Jesus has done on our behalf. Our worthiness is based on Jesus' perfect life, His death and resurrection. Our daily spiritual progress occurs as we practice trusting in the leading of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. We realize that our own human effort avails us nothing but trouble. There is great joy in knowing the spiritual life is a gift from beginning to end. And knowing about the message of Jesus as our life becomes an anchor for our soul. We may get tossed around by life's trials and often get sidetracked, but the Holy Spirit helps get us back on track to practice a life of dependence and trust. This leads to a much greater rest and peace in our spiritual life. It's a great comfort to know what to practice, even if we were just beginners in the process. Second, the Bible makes a whole lot more sense. Many of the apparent conflicting scriptures begin to make sense. The seemingly impossible high calling to godliness and agape love at least begins to seem possible, since it is to be God working through us. We begin to realize that self-striving is futile, and we can't live the life in our own strength. It feels good not to have to be on the treadmill of performance, or in baseball terms, swinging the bat at home plate by ourselves. Also, we understand why God leaves us with a bent toward evil, so we'll continue to maintain our intimacy and draw from God's life. We may not like the trials that come our way, but we better understand that God's goal is to move us deeper into a life of moment-by-moment trust to get to know them better. Also, we have a greater understanding that God is on our side in the midst of difficult circumstances. Third, the spiritual disciplines of the Christian life over time become a more natural byproduct of a life of dependence. We realize we can't live our lives without drawing daily from God's life. Therefore, prayer, spending time in God's Word, become an absolute necessity and greater joy rather than a duty, since we realize the necessity of our dependence on Jesus as our very life. We realize that our intimacy continues as a lifelong habit. Jesus no longer is just a good example for us to try to follow. We understand it's not just a question of asking what would Jesus do, but we begin to realize that we have to practice letting Jesus do his work through us. Therefore, one of the additional benefits is that we will be more relaxed, resting in God to lead and direct us in the disciplines of the spiritual life. Next, we become more aware of God's concern for the details of our life. They want us to depend on them when struggling with temptation, sin, or the other many perplexities of life. We become more aware of God's love and faithfulness as God answers our prayers in the minute details of life. We begin to realize God will never fail us or forsake us regardless of how we feel. We understand that more and more why the gospel is called good news. The receiving of Jesus was wonderfully good news. And we begin to realize that practicing resting in Jesus' life is equally good news. A final blessing is that we have a greater understanding of how we can be led into good works versus trying to manufacture good works. We gain a better perspective of the tension between a life of faith and production of good works. Jesus is the one calling the shots. He's the head of the body, and we're one of the body parts. I'm responsible for following Jesus for my part and can be more relaxed in my relationship with God. We more readily see that our life can be a ministry. Our everyday life can count as we practice resting in Jesus' life to live a life of love. I would summarize these present blessings as a greater understanding of the height and depth of God's love for us and a greater settled rest and peace. Yet many of our rewards will be received in the life to come. The Bible indicates that all Christians, after we die, will go to heaven to be with God forever in great glory. And yet each one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of our lives. Our friend and Savior Jesus will be our judge. 2 Corinthians 5:10 states, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." The word bad means worthless. Jesus said in John 6:63, "The flesh, our natural bent towards sin and self-effort, profits nothing." By implication, if the source of our works is the flesh, even though it's very impressive to others, it counts for nothing at the judgment seat of Christ. John 15:5, Jesus said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." God is basically saying he's unimpressed by human achievement, but is pleased and with his Son's life working through us. When asked how to do the works of God, Jesus said, "Believe in me." Jesus was saying, if you want to do God's work, then trust him to do it. Our motivation is as important to God as the work itself. Colossians 3:23-24 tells us that whatever you do, do heartily for God, not for men, for Jesus will reward us. Matthew 6:1 states, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven." The motivation of what we do is very important to God. 1 Corinthians 4:5 states, "Jesus will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts." Ephesians 2:10 implies, God's got the plan already laid out for us. Our job is to follow. Each one of us is gifted in a special way. And 1 Corinthians 13 reminds us that God is looking for a motivation of supernatural love. The source of that agape love is God himself. And if I do a Herculean effort of a good work without love, it profits me nothing. It seems clear the good that will be rewarded at the judgment seat needs to have its origin in God. Simply put, the good works rewarded are God's works. Well, what do these rewards have to do with, anyway? Well, remember, we're part of God's kingdom. We as believers are a royal priesthood and will serve as priests in God's kingdom. In 1 Corinthians 6, 2-3, Paul, writing to the Christians in the city of Corinth, says, "Don't you know we'll judge the world and angels?" Numerous scriptures talk about crowns, which may designate positions of authority within God's kingdom. Matthew 19:28 states the apostles would sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. In 2 Timothy 4:7-8, the apostle Paul says, "I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." There are rewards for the faithful pastor and elders. 1 Peter 5:1-4 discusses that subject. Soul winning, Paul indicates his converts were his crown in 1 Thessalonians 2:19-20. James 1:12 talks about a crown of life for suffering by resisting temptation and enduring trial. Matthew 10:41 implies by helping other Christian ministries, we can be rewarded. Even giving a cup of water to a fellow believer in need can result in reward. It's critical to realize that these rewards are a product of trusting and resting in Jesus to lead and direct and to work through us. These good deeds can be many and varied. The rewards are based on how we use the gifts, abilities, talents, resources that God gives to each of us. God judges us individually on how well we carry out their custom plan for us. He's not going to compare us to anyone else, thankfully. 1 Corinthians 3:12 through 15 does state the possibility of no heavenly reward. Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 29 takes rewards seriously as he talks about the possibility of him being disqualified, not from eternal life, but eternal reward. His analogy is in the context of running a race. Only a citizen was eligible to participate in the track events of that day. Every Christian is a citizen of heaven and is eligible for heavenly rewards. Genesis 15:1 states, "God is our shield and very great reward." Ultimately, the most important reward is being with God. And what a reward to spend an eternity with God. In Psalm 16:11, King David wrote, "You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." There is a danger that the doctrine of rewards can be twisted into a life of self-effort of striving after the flesh. It has to be firmly fixed in our minds that a life of dependence is foundational and following God's leading is critical to maintain a correct focus. We must be firmly convinced that it is only by practicing a life of childlike faith, allowing God to work through us, that can be rewarded. It's important to understand that practicing resting in Jesus to work through us is rewarded now and eternally. Hebrews 11:6 states, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Well, that brings us back to the heart of the Christian experience, which is practicing childlike faith, resting in Jesus' life, to produce the life that only God can. I hope this study, Resting in Jesus' Life, has been encouragement to you. Truly, the indwelling presence of God in us is our source of rest. As Exodus 33:14 states, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." God longs for intimacy with each of us. And as I've tried to point out, the entire spiritual life has been designed to drive us to a life of dependence on God so we can find our rest in them. In Psalm 62:1, the psalmist states, "My soul finds rest in God alone." Practicing resting in Jesus' life is practicing grace living and is the source of a fruitful life. And John 15:5 sums up the spiritual life very well. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. Well, thanks for joining me, and this concludes the series Resting in Jesus' Life.
This concludes today's program of Grace Living for Everyday Life. Thank you for listening. If you would like to contact Bob Jones, you can email him at bob4gracewalk@yahoo.com. That's Bob, the number 4, gracewalk@yahoo.com. Or you may contact him through the online community section of this website. We hope you will tune into the program next time, and have a grace-filled day.